Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening live, this is John Johnson on Radio EduTalk. It is Wednesday, the 8th of March, 2017. And I've got, I guess, what I think of as an intriguing guest on this evening. We've got Sean Dowling, who's going to tell us something about the Oor Willy Bucket Trail. Good evening, Sean.
Good evening. How are you, John?
I'm not too bad. I contacted you on Twitter to talk about this because I saw some of the tweets, and it just looks a fascinating project, and always interested in people doing something slightly new and different in education. Could you maybe give us a wee bit to start off with, Sean, about background, about yourself, where you are now, what you're doing,
and
how you got there?
Certainly. Well, as you've mentioned, my name's Sean Dowling. I'm a Primary 1 teacher at the Community School of Auchterarder, which is sort of halfway between Stirling and Perth, if you know your Scottish geography quite well. And I've been teaching now, I'm about to go into my fourth year of teaching. Prior to that, I worked in community education as a youth worker, having trained at Dundee University, and then went back to Dundee University after a few years working to train as a teacher, because it was always my first love, really. And just my path changed a little bit as I was going through my late teens and early 20s, and I didn't feel I was ready to go into teaching as back at the beginning of my further education, so I came into it a bit later on, and that's me here now.
Cool. It's always good to have people. I started teaching until I was 30, and I suppose it saved many generations of children. So it's maybe a good idea. It's also good, I think, in education to get a mix of folk in teaching. But
absolutely. I mean, I'd always wanted to be a teacher. I think that was had always been my plans as far back as I can remember. But when I first moved to Dundee in 2006, I was 18 years old, and my initial plan was to go to Dundee Uni and do teacher training. But I was like, oh no, I'm 18 years old, I don't think I'm ready to be a teacher yet. That's a huge amount of responsibility. So I pulled myself out of that and went to college for a year and did early years education, HNC and that, which was absolutely interesting, and it kept me in the sort of frame of mind of study, but it still allowed me to live my life as an 18-year-old at the time. And then, like I say, during that year, I got involved with a lot more with youth work and community education and found myself drawn to that. So I ultimately trained in community education, first of all, and then, like I say, went to work for 2-3 years in various different youth work jobs, and then got made unemployed in one of my jobs because it was just cuts to the council at the time. And it just so happened at that point Dundee University were looking to increase their numbers again after a few years of placement cuts for the PGDE. So I was lucky enough to get on the course that year, and as I say, the rest is history.
Brilliant. I mean, it's quite interesting that you've come out of youth work and you're in a Primary 1 class.
Yes, a huge range of age.
it's a good difference. And it's also, I guess, interesting to hear from men in Primary 1s and the infants, because very often you're, maybe not so much nowadays, but back in the day you were shunted off up to the Primary 6s and 7s if you were.
Yeah. And I would say that's definitely praise to my management team at the Community School of Auchterarder, because when they interviewed me for the post, they saw something in me and they sort of felt actually he would be quite well suited in the early years. And to begin with, I wasn't sure if that was really where I wanted to go in primary education. I'd done my probation year with a Primary 6 class, and then obviously my background working with teenagers and things as well, so I was a bit more upper school focused. But it's the 2 years that I've been in early years doing Primary 1, it's been absolutely fantastic, and now it's kind of hard to imagine myself going back up the school.
Yeah, brilliant. So the thing that attracted me, and I guess a lot of people of my generation almost learned to read on Oor Willy, Before iPads, the Sunday Post was something that almost, I guess, everybody in Scotland read. And if you were a child, you read the Urwillie and the Bruins. So I was kind of intrigued when I saw the tweets about the Urwillie bucket trail. I'm wondering, can you tell us a wee bit about what that involves? And
not a problem. Well, the premise of it really started about this time last year with my previous P1 class. I'd been teaching the Scots language unit because I think most schools in Scotland, when we come back from Christmas, you come in and you do a lot of Scots language work, and a lot of the focus is on your poetry and your Burns and your Scottish songs and things. And I thought with the P1s that I was working with last year, it'd be good just to put it into a bit more of a recognisable context for them. So I'd spoken to them about Urwillie and said, do you know who he is? And they were like, yeah. So we used that as a bit of a context. And it was successful last year. It wasn't as nearly as big as it was this year, but we used it as a context. We got some good resources from the National Library of Scotland, and I used that as the basis for my whole teaching, which was really positive. And then come the summer of 2016, I was made aware through Twitter and other online things that there was a charity called Archie, the Archie Foundation, and they work with a children's hospital across Tayside in Scotland, and they were doing an Urwillie bucket trail in Dundee. So they got loads of local artists and things to design and create, I can't remember how big they're, about maybe 5 foot tall statues of Urwillie, and they were placed all over Dundee and Tayside, and a lot of them went on tour across Scotland. And for me, I loved that because I love Urwillie, and it's my childhood's memories are of reading Urwillie, like you said, getting the books at Christmas and sitting reading for hours, and that was really how I began to read as well. So I went back to Dundee, having been away for about a year or two, went and did the trail myself, absolutely loved it, saw how much children and young people were engaging with not only their mums and dads, but they were engaging with different generations of the family. Mm-hmm. They were going out with grands and granddads, mainly because it's the summer holidays and a lot of them are babysitting them anyway. But it was the relationships that we're having. You could see the grands and granddads enjoying it, right the way down to the little kids that were barely walking as well. They were just getting a great amount of excitement out of it. Mm. And that sparked the idea in my head. I was like, I wonder if I could maybe do something like this with my class come January 2017. So the idea was embedded, and it stayed there until about late November, December time, and then all the Christmas stuff was going on at school. But I'm one of these people, I like to sort of forward plan a little bit, and I like to make sure I've got something down on paper for the next term before the holiday kicks in.
Gosh.
So
we're feeling ashamed.
Oh no, I'm not really that organised. It's just sort of like long term goals. I just like to have them jotted down. So I had this idea. I was like, right, why don't we do our own little Urwillie bucket trail within the school? Because one thing I didn't mention is that the school that I work in is classed a community campus, so we're a through school, nursery all the way through to secondary. So we've got the 2-year-olds right the way up to 18-year-olds in our campus. So the original plan had been I would send the kids home a little project to maybe make their own Urwillie model based on the stat, and I was going to just do it like you would with any other task like this, like a build a castle or make a fort or whatever like that. It was just make it out of whatever you wanted. But it didn't quite turn out that way because I got into discussion with one of my pupil's parents, his dad, and I'd brought up the plan and what I had in mind, and he was like, well, I work for DC Thompson's, maybe there's, which is the publishing house makes Urwillie and the Sunday Post and all the other Beano and Dandy comics and things. So that was a bit of chance. So we got chatting, and he was like, I wonder if there's anything I can do to help you. So we sent emails backwards and forwards just leading up to Christmas, and as a result of those conversations, he was able to come back and say, listen, the Urwillie bucket trail that happened last year, they're raising money for the Archie Foundation because they want to build this new unit at Nine Mills Hospital. They've produced these small desktop replicas of the original statues, about 7 or 8 inches tall, We can't give you them for free, unfortunately, but we can give you them for cost price, which was a significant amount of money cut off. But like any school, money's not readily available to do things like that. So it was a bit of a panic. How am I going to go about this? Am I going to try and get the money somehow to get the statues, or am I going to just go with my original idea of just getting the kids to make the statues themselves? Luckily enough, again, having a conversation with a parent of a pupil in my class last year, who runs a local art gallery in Ochterarder called Rifflin Gallery, I'd explained my predicament, and she actually said, "Oh well, I get money every year to give out to local art projects as funding. Mm-hmm. I would be willing to support this project." So she very kindly paid the £200 that we needed to buy the statues, and we were able to then secure the 25 statues needed for the class, which was absolutely brilliant.
So each kid has got a miniature
statue of their own.
Right,
okay. Yes, of their own. So they arrived at the school and they're little porcelain figures, they're plain white, and they came with a little paint set. And I downloaded a template of the statue from Google, because I found an image of it on Google. And I just went with the idea, because obviously, and amongst all this, I'm teaching the Scots language as well, when I'm using Urwell as the context. So I started the project off, and I introduced Urwell as a character for some of the kids who maybe weren't aware of him. We had a discussion about what we knew and what they would like to do with it. And I gave home the design sheets. And the design sheets, I gave them a week to get them filled in and come back. But obviously the children had been aware of the bucket trail the previous year. Mm-hmm. So within 2 days, I had all the design sheets back completed with the children's own ideas, coloured in, drawn themselves, and they were all fantastic. So I then gave the statues out and I said, "Right, you've got 3 weeks to produce these statues." And off they went and started to make them. And then during this, sorry, on you go.
So this was at home, they took the statues home with them?
Yeah, they took the statues home, and the letter that I sent home was, I want the kids to produce this statue. It can be anything you want it to be, but what I really want to encourage is discussion. And it's that, like I say, when I was in Dundee watching or seeing the bucket trail happening last year, and it was the discussions and the memories that were being shared across the generations, that's what I wanted to try and replicate in this task. So I was really encouraging the mums and the dads, the grannies and the granddads, the whole family, to get involved and share their memories of Urwilly and the Scots language that they remember, because anybody that's been brought up in Scotland in the last 50 years has been taught Robert Burns, they've been taught Scots language poems, they've been taught Scots as part of the curriculum in some way or form. Because I still remember, I was saying this at Pedigoo last week, Pedigoo Perth, that I stood up in front of the class in January and off the top of my head, having not done it for about 20 years, recited the Scots poem Street Talk, just off the top of my head, because that's what I remember being taught at school. So that's the way we were going with it. So it was to really encourage the memories, the sharing of those memories, encourage spending time with the parents where it's not just reading and writing tasks or number work as homework. It was something a bit more creative, something a bit more different for them. So that was all going really well. And then, as I said, in the classroom, over those 3 weeks while they were designing their statue, we were in the classroom and we were learning Scottish words. So we started off by introducing Urwilly and the characters, and just even by talking about their names, they were learning Scots words. So for example, Urwilly is Our William. We talked about that. Soapy Souter, Fat Bob, Wee Eck. We talked about their names and we talked about what that meant and how what words were recognised. So the kids knew instantly that Wee Eck meant small, because they knew that he was small and they could visualise that. And then we got the characters up in the learning wall, and then we then decided to make a new friend for Urwilly. So we drew around one of the boys in the class, and then we learned the Scots words for the body parts. So we learned heed, shooters, knees and tays, or naps and tays, depending on which dialect of Scots you speak or use. So we did that, we created the video, we put that online, we drew around this pupil in the class, the pupils coloured them in and painted them, and we put them up in the wall, and then the children researched the words. We got the words up on the internet, on Google, and they were copying the words and learning what they meant, and then making a lot of labels and putting it up on the wall. And then that, by doing that, the children then started to get more engaged with it, because they liked the words. A lot of the words were quite funny for them. Like they latched onto words like bahookie for bum and things. And they were one of the boys in the class, when we were making a little video of our favourite Scots words, he stood up and said bampot, which made me giggle a little bit, because I was like, why did he pick that one word? But it was just really positive. Yeah. And then, of course, on top of that, we did the Scots poetry as well. I introduced them because Robert Burns is such a huge part of Scottish culture, and they've got their P1s have got the rest of their school life to learn about Robert Burns. I really wanted to introduce them to Scots language at a level that they could really understand. So we used J.K. Annand poems. I did street talk and a few of the things that I remember. I used songs by a Scots songwriter from Aberdeenshire way called Lillian Ross. I'd worked with her in a previous job and when I was a youth worker. And I brought it down to their level. I made it easy. We enjoyed it. We sang songs. It was very play-based. The children just got the chance to explore the language. And in doing that, they were engaged with it. And then they were going home and talking about this, and then talking about Oor Willy and looking at the Oor Willy books and using that to inspire their statues.
And does the statues come back at this point, or?
Yeah, the statues came back after the 3-week period, and they exceeded all my expectations. I mean, obviously the pupils were hugely, they loved it. They were so proud of these statues that they created. I mean, we had everything from traditional Oor Willy to an Oor Willy that was wearing the school uniform, to superheroes, Disney princesses. We had Pokemon designs.
Yeah.
They were taking things that were relevant to them and applying them to a context that was, for some of them, new to them, but some of them also a little bit tricky as well. But they were taking what they enjoyed and applying it to what they were learning and making it fun for themselves. And the fact that they had the statue, they had made it themselves, they'd had this experience where they were working with their mums and dads and their grannies and granddads, they had had these conversations, they were just so enthusiastic about it and so keen to get it out into the community to show off, and that's when the project really kind of took off and became something bigger than it actually was planned to be.
So you got the statue, I mean, this is the bit, the statues then, when you say went out into the community.
Yes.
Presumably,
well, the go on, you go, sorry.
They didn't just sort of toddle off, you had to organise something.
No, well, the original plan had been for the statues just to be displayed across the school, and it would be a primary school event. We'd give all the pupils in the classes the chance to go around at some point during the day and try and find the statues across the whole campus.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, why just restrict it to the school? Like, the original bucket trail in Dundee was huge. People were keen to get out and about and explore their community and visit places they hadn't been to before. So I thought, I'll test the waters. So I went out into the community and I spoke to local businesses and explained what the project was and what the idea behind it was. And then I asked the question to them all, would you be willing to adopt an Oor Willy statue for a period of time to create this bucket trail where the pupils could, in their free time outside of school, could go around, use the maps that we would create and find all the statues.
Right.
And almost all the businesses in Aysdru, because like, for people who don't know Ochterarder, it's a small community, it's not very big. I mean, all of the businesses are on the High Street. But almost all of the businesses in some way or form wanted to support us. So I then rustled together a very crude map. I drew it together because it was a bit last minute. And we then put the statues out in the community, and again, it just took off at this point. We had so much enthusiasm, not just from the pupils in our class, but pupils from across the school. The maps that we made, I sent them out to all the class teachers, and I said to them, if you want to, you can send this out as an extra curricular homework task, a little bit of fun. Most of the teachers in the school, I think all of the teachers did it. Loads of pupils in the school were just raving about it, running about after school, and even I made the effort to go out onto the high street a couple of times during the 3-4 weeks that they were out and about,
mm-hmm.
and saw people running in and out of shops with their parents, looking for the statues, ticking them off on their map and saying, oh, can we go here next? And I want to see this one, I want to see my friend's statue. And it really just created a really positive sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Because being a through school, because we've got high school, a lot of the links that we have in the school are with the secondary school, because they do a lot of work experience and wider achievement programmes and things. But the primary school's links with the community, they're there, but they're not as prevalent. So mm-hmm. it just created a buzz. It got the primary school pupils involved in the community. All the businesses raved about it. They were just so pleased to see so many people, not just the pupils, but the parents, the grandparents, just coming in and out of the shops, talking to each other, and just being part of the community.
Brilliant. And so was the idea that you ticked them off or collected them all by going round? Or
yeah, the map, on one side of the map we had the sort of very crudely drawn map of the high street that I produced, and then on the mm-hmm. back we had the list of all the statues and where to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And with each statue, we had a little Ur-Willy-styled bucket mm-hmm. Beside it, which the aim was, because we were trying to raise money for the Archie Foundation to support them, and also maybe raise a little bit of money towards the school funds, because we thought maybe if we could raise maybe a couple of £100, maybe £100 or £200, we could give half to the Archie Foundation and half towards our school trip or something later in the year, just to help us out. So they had the little buckets, but then, the pupils were just going out, but they would go in and they would look for their friend's bucket, and then they would put a couple of pennies in the bucket and support in that way.
Yeah.
So it was really, really good to see that, and the buckets were filling up quite fast as well, which was lovely to see. And over the 2.5 weeks that they were out in the high street and in the shops, the buckets just kept filling up, and a few businesses had to actually contact me and say, could you come and collect this money now, because it's starting to overflow a little bit and things.
Empty the bucket.
Right. Yeah, so the support was phenomenal, much more than I had anticipated, and by the end of the first two and a half weeks where they were out in the shops, we had raised about £450 or something like that. I can't quite remember the exact figure, but it was over £400. Just from the buckets, and I didn't think we would get any more from that. But after the statues had been out in the high street, they then went to the art gallery that sponsored us, the Ruthven Gallery, and Suzanne, who runs the Ruthven Gallery, was really supportive. She gave us a space within the gallery for 2 weeks where the pupils' work was on display, and it just gave it that sort of more professional look, and the pupils really took to that. The pupils in my class were so happy because they thought they were famous artists. We're in an art gallery. My granny's coming to see it, and there was one pupil who was saying her auntie and uncle were coming up from England just to see it in the art gallery and things. So it really took off, mm-hmm. and it was just really special. And as this was all going on, the enthusiasm just did not drop.
Yeah.
From the pupils, they kept singing the Scots songs. They were asking me constantly, what does this word mean in Scots, or how do I say this in Scots? We were researching it. They were just fully engaged and enjoying it and using it in their play. We had our whole corner set up, and some of the children were going in and saying, they weren't saying Mum and Dad, they were going Ma and Pa, and they were saying the house rather than the house and things. They were just embedding what they had been learning.
Yeah.
In their play, and some of the children in the class who didn't really have dialect before, they just sort of sounded like little 5-year-olds, were starting to speak with a bit of a broad Scots accent.
So how did that go down at home?
But like I say, the parents were all really supportive, they all really enjoyed it. And some of the things that really stood out for me in terms of the learning in the class was, I've got two children in the class who have got a Polish heritage. English is not their first language, although their English is very good. But they really took to it, and then they would be sitting talking to each other in Polish and trying to convert the Scots word into the mainstream English into the Polish, which was lovely to see as well. So that proved quite entertaining as well, trying to find an appropriate English word for a Scottish word, and then trying to find the appropriate Polish word to make that, to make the equivalence for that. So,
brilliant.
So it was really, really popular, and like I say, it went to the art gallery. The children, they felt they were famous artists, so we took the I took the children over to the gallery, and as a special treat, for anybody that listens who's a fan of the Great British Bake Off, one of the contestants from the Great British Bake Off 2 years ago, a lady called Marie, she now has a lovely cake shop in Ochterarder High Street, and she had one of the statues as well, but she had kindly agreed to donate a cake to the class as a little treat. So she had made a cake with an Ur-Willis figure on it, right. Much like the statues that the children had made. So I took them over to the gallery. They saw the statues there. Their eyes lit up. They were so happy. They just were so excited. They were enthusiastic about their learning. They were talking about it in such a positive way. And then they got cake as well, which made it all the more better.
Learning and cake. So, it can't be
learning done. And cake, which yeah. is not particularly healthy, I know that, but you've got to treat them sometimes. So, yeah. so it was really positive. And yeah, from that moment on, there was only one last thing we could do, which was the children getting their statues back. But because we were raising money for charity, and we'd raised about £450 from the buckets, I had originally discussed the idea of possibly doing an auction for the statues mm-hmm. that had been created, much like what had happened with the original Ur-Willis statues. But I sort of realised quite quickly that if I did an auction, maybe a lot of the local businesses would maybe take the statues away from the children, and we didn't think that was really fair for the children. We thought, we've got to really give them first dibs, we've got to let them get the chance to keep their own statues. So the statues, if you were to buy the statue yourself, they're worth £25. So what we said was, we'll meet you halfway between what we paid for them and what the retail price would be. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to keep your statue, if you could just put a donation into our bucket for the fundraising of a minimum of £15. And this, again, it just took off. I mean, I had pupils in the class who were giving me £50, £60, £30, £25. It just, it was phenomenal. And it just showed how important it was to them, but also to their families, to keep this little memento to what had been a hugely popular and hugely enjoyable learning experience for them. And as a result of that, our total that we raised for the whole project was about £1,030 in total.
That's kind of marvellous for a primary one.
For a P1 class in a small location, small village town, it's a huge amount.
So I'm guessing a lot of the goodness and excitement of this comes when a project becomes, I always think it's real, when it involves something outside the classroom, it involves people or things that they're not just making a piece of art for the classroom, making a piece of art for an art gallery. For the trail, and that sort of thing lifts that.
Absolutely. I mean, behind it all, obviously, you had the product, which was the Ur-Willis Bucket Trail, but for me as a teacher, just watching how they were engaged with it, I mean, it was just amazing to watch them. They were enthusiastic, they wanted to learn, they were learning, they were engaging with Scots language, which I think Scots language is quite a difficult thing for children to pick up. I mean, a lot of children, even if they've been born and bred in Scotland, find it difficult to really learn the words and the poems and the stories. So for the P1s to have this little, in inverted commas, art project as a sort of product of a much bigger learning process, it was just phenomenal to see as a teacher.
And I guess that's, I mean, one of the things about projects like this would you do this again, or would you do something slightly different, or, you know, how do you replicate such a nice piece of practice?
Well, that's the thing, it's a very difficult thing to think about so soon after it finished, because, I mean, really, today's been the sort of final day that we've really had anything to do with her, really, because the lady came to collect the cheque from the Archie Foundation today, so that was a nice way to finish it off, and then obviously speaking to you tonight. So to think about it just now, would I do it again next year? I would love to do it again. It really just depends on how things pan out for the next school year as well, what class I get, do the community want to see the same thing again, or do they want to see something different? Do the pupils want to do something like that again, or do whatever class I've got next year, do they want to do something different, completely different, that's still on a similar scale, but let them decide? So we'll just wait and see what happens. I'm the sort of teacher that I love to have one project a year. I like to have one thing, one big thing that I can do with the kids. Like last year, the previous year, I'd organised a gala day at the school to celebrate the Queen's Jubilee, which was a whole school event, got all the parents involved, got all the community involved as well, and that was hugely successful, and that was kind of my big thing for last year. And this year my big thing's been the Sir Willie project. So in terms of next year, I would love to do it again if we can do it again, but it really just depends on what the children want, what the community would be interested in doing, and what all the other small circumstantial things, like what class I've got and what we're learning about, really. So
The other sort of thing that, I mean, you started off at the start saying that you were somebody who likes to be well planned, but at the point where it became interesting, or the second sort of wind, it wasn't so planned.
No,
so there's a nice mix in there between planning and being willing to follow what's interesting or what's happening.
Yeah, and we followed the natural curve of things. Like, I didn't purposely set myself out to do certain things. It's just, it was all circumstantial. Things just kept coming up to us, offers of things to do. Like, oh, we would be interested in taking this out to the community. Oh, would you? Oh, well, that's one door open now. Let's go through that door. So, yeah, I mean, I am a very planned and organised person in a sense, in terms of my work and things. I like to know what I'm doing. I like to have a really forward thinking kind of way. I like to know what I'm doing 3 months before I'm actually doing it. Hence why I was thinking about the project about November, December time. And then even during the Rivoli project, I was thinking about what we'd be doing for our next topic. And now that I'm doing the next topic, I'm thinking about what am I going to be doing in the summer term and things like that. And so for me to let go and let the children have a bit more control was quite liberating for me, because in the 3.5 years that I have been teaching, it's the first time I've really done that. I've really allowed myself to just go with how the children take it, which has been lovely for me as well, but just eye-opening for me, because in a sense, because I was able to just see how the curriculum for excellence actually kind of really works if you just let the children have a bit of freedom and let them to an extent dictate the learning journey that they go on. So
yeah, I think that's it. That's a great message from this project, is both that I guess some of us are better at planning and other people are better at last minute curves, but
yes,
it's probably the combination that's done this project's made this project
absolutely
really run. And I just, the idea of that when it went into the community just seems like a great idea, because we're always looking for ways to connect with the local community, and very often it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
Every year you've got your wee whatever it is you do with the community, and you do this, but this one just seemed to grow in, I was going to say arms and legs, but it's grown paths or something through your community organically almost.
Yeah, and I mean, that's nice. If that's one thing, there's two things I would want to say to teachers who might be listening to this just now, and I said this at Pedagoo Perth last week when I was talking about the project as well. The first thing I said to the teachers that I spoke to was, if you've got an idea, run with it. I mean, don't ever be afraid to go with an idea. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. That's part of the learning process, and children need to be exposed to that way of thinking as well. They need to know that sometimes a project doesn't work out the way you plan it. So that was the sort of main message that I said to the people at Pedagoo last week, was if you've got an idea, don't be afraid to go with it. But yeah, really, I think the big message with this is it's just get out there and get involved with the community. Don't be afraid to go out and ask for things. Don't be afraid to go out and ask the questions that you might think, oh no, that's not really appropriate. I'm a teacher, that's the parents, or that's the community. We don't really want to cross paths too much. Because I think many schools, I mean, I've got loads of friends who are teachers, loads of friends who are parents, and there's just this sort of unwritten rule. It's like, the parents won't come and speak to the parents of the community won't necessarily come and speak to the school or the teachers and offer their support, and the teachers and the schools won't necessarily go to the community and ask for their support. It's just this they kind of hover and look at each other from a distance. That's just from my personal experience, though. But by me having a good relationship with my parents this year and from last year as well, and being able to just have informal conversations with them, that opened doors for me, and then I was able to go out to the community and say, this is what we're doing, can you help, do you want to be involved? And actually they were going, yes, we've been waiting for something like this to happen. So that would be the second piece of advice to any teachers out there who are thinking about going out to the community, is just go for it. Don't be afraid to ask the questions, don't be afraid to go out and seek help from the community. Because it really does add to the magic of the learning process.
Brilliant. I mean, it sounds like a marvellous time for the wee guys in your class.
Yes.
And I say this whole thing of making things real, it's like putting it out there and making it a real piece of art. I'm not saying that the stuff we normally do isn't real, but it giving it an audience, I think. I've always felt this about things like, you know, getting children using blogs and things that make something real, because it's a real job that they're doing.
Absolutely.
And your guys became real artists and got into real art gallery, which is pretty cool.
I mean, you just saying there about blogging and things, getting young people involved in that. I mean, as you've seen, I'm a prolific user of Twitter, and I don't hide that from the children in the class. I get the Twitter feed up on the smart board every day, and we look at tweets that I've been sending out, and we look at comments from parents and people like with. And during that Our Willy Bucket Trail, the online support that we got, I mean, it was ridiculously good. I mean, it far exceeded my expectations. I mean, one of the pupils in the class, he had designed his statue to look like Andy Murray. And they had changed the bucket to a tennis ball, and they had made a tennis racket and a little trophy. And I thought, well, that's too good an opportunity to miss. So I tweeted Andy Murray and I tweeted Judy Murray, because they're both on Twitter. And both of them retweeted us, which was absolutely fantastic. And then we got retweets from Lorraine Kelly as well, which got people interested, not just from the local area, but we had people in from Dundee picking up on us. We had people from around the world. We had comments coming in from Canada, and we had a comment coming in from Australia and New Zealand. Oh, we used to read Our Willy, this is fantastic, well done Primary One. And for P1s, that just opened up a world to them that just didn't seem possible.
Yeah, well, I think for anybody, even for old nearly 6-year-olds like myself, I still get excited if somebody says something that is nice on Twitter. So
yes,
it's a marvellous thing. And I think the fact that you can mix now very easily the real, the inside school, the outside school, the online world, and have, you know, a bit of flow between the two is a great thing.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. So I guess your two main takeaways were have a go, both.
Absolutely.
Follow your ideas, follow the children, and get involved and have a go at getting involved with parents. And there's a greater, I guess, the community more than parents, so that's it.
Yes. That's not taken away from the parents as well, because like I said right at the very beginning of it, I think at the heart of it was that moment that I had in Dundee where I saw the parents and the grandparents engaging with their children in Dundee around, I think if I remember correctly, it was the David Bowie statue, which last year obviously had quite a lot of significant meaning for people with his passing, and I spent a lot of time there as well because I absolutely loved David Bowie. So when he died and then I saw that statue, I was like, that's where I want to go. And that's what I took away from it, was that if this Our Willy project can do anything, if it falls apart around about me, if the one thing that works is the conversations that the children have with their mums and their dads and their grannies and granddads and aunties and uncles, whoever, that's the most important thing. And I think at the heart of it, no matter how big it's got and no matter all the arms and legs that came off of it, I still think that that's been the most important part of this learning journey for them, has been that engagement with their family.
Brilliant. Well, I just say thank you very much, Sean, for telling us all about this. It sounds brilliant. I hope we see you on Twitter, whatever the next project from your class is, and the big one next year sounds as if it's got a lot to live up to.
I know, I'm going to have to think of something good.
There goes the summer holidays.
Yes.
But thank you very much for coming on and telling us.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been an exciting opportunity. I've never done anything like this before, so it's been lovely.
Yeah, and we'll stick this up on edutalk.cc in a day or two, and we'll obviously tweet that out. Any links that Sean gives us, we can pile into the show notes.
Absolutely.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you.
I'm going to say goodnight to the audience and hang up the broadcast. Cheers, folks.